Good morning
Some of them
and
already
welcome
have
to.
postpartum.
No.
Sorry.
Okay. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You, a big book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, November the 11th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Denise C., the 12 Traditions, Mary P. The readers of the text are Ann S.C.H., Dana P., and Tanya P. And today we'll be reading from the big book, as always. We're on page 58 in the chapter, How It Works, the third paragraph down. At some of these we balked through one paragraph ending with, until we let go absolutely. The comments are on that one paragraph only. The share ID for yesterday's Sunday special edition, November the 10th, is 21,901. That's 21901. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, November 11th, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,902. That's 21902. The newcomer greeter is Chanel P., and the announcements person is Betsy H. Thank you all for your service. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship strength and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Denise C. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. The 12 steps. We admitted, number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two,
read them
came to
for
believe.
Food. Read them with the food in there. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Well, thank you very much, Denise C. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning. I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter How It Works on page 58. It'll be the third paragraph down, starting with at some of these we balked, and it ends with until we let go absolutely. And I will now ask, it's Ann SCH from Canada to get us started. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning again, Mo, and good morning to everyone online. My name is Ann SCH. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from British Columbia, Canada. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. So, and prior to going to sleep last night and knowing what the paragraph we're going to reading, I went to God, my higher power, and asked for just insight for me for today. And I had a dream, and I'm not taking you down a rabbit trail with this by telling you about this. This is applicable in so many ways to this particular paragraph. This was like me cleaning out under my bathroom sink, that sinkhole where lots of things go and may not see the light of day unless there's some kind of reason to pull them out. And in there, I found a package of what was labeled wristlets. And there was a time in our culture going way back where at one point, women, when they were menstruating, only had sanitary napkins and had to create their own disposal system because it wasn't available in any of the washrooms that were in the culture in North America at that time. And these were like a plastic item that you would, because they were called wristlets, it was sort of like something you could carry on your wrist. So it's kind of like a bondage in a way. Ideally, you could also put them in your purse. And I thought, okay, God, what does this dream mean? Because it doesn't make sense to me that this is old technology. I'm way past this needing any kind of item like this. But the more I looked at it, the more I realized that wristlets are something that is like a bondage, something that's on the wrist, something that holds me back. So I said, okay, God, what does this mean? Because there was a whole big package of these things. There was actually two, one package that was open and one package that was sitting there. And I had the sense that this was inherited somehow from my mother, that this came out of my mother's generation and that I had continued to carry this item in my bathroom because I didn't want to throw it away. So if we go back to the paragraph again and look at old ideas. I don't want to let go of old ideas. This to me was a message that no, these wristlets are fear. These are fears that I have either inherited, continue to hold on to, and need to let go. So to me, this is like the last line is we let go absolutely. So in this moment, I am willing to let go of these old fears. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much for getting us started. So, I will now ask, let me see where I am. I lost my place. Okay. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, who would like to share on this paragraph? Page 58, the third paragraph down. At some of these weeks.
Wendy
talks.
B.
Susan G.
Thank you.
Wendy B. Who was after Wendy
J?
Whoops, what? Who was Jay?
Aaron J.
Aaron. Okay.
And Stephanie L.
I heard a Stephanie. Then who was after Stephanie?
Stephanie L.
Blair S.
Claire E.
Blair S.
Claire E. from the UK.
Yes.
Claire. Okay, let's stop there. Claire. Okay. I kind of scribbled it down, so help me out. All right. Sorry about that. So I have Stephanie, Wendy B., Aaron J., Stephanie L., Blair S., and Claire E. I hope I got that all right. Will everybody please mute your phone, except Susan G. Good morning, Susan.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you, everyone, for your service on Monday morning. Good morning. I'm Susan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. How it works. They are telling me everything, even how I walk. And yes, I did. Not at just a few of these things, but all of them. Can I let go? Absolutely. Yes, when I made that decision that went in partnership immediately like a Siamese twin with action. I couldn't wait. I couldn't decide for another hour. I had to do it. I had to pick up the phone. I had to get into the work. And there's always that reminder of the easier, softer way. For me today, after trying all the things that were available on the market 25 years ago, this is easier. This is softer. This is kinder. My God is so much more loving than all those dieting tools that I used. And all of you are so much kinder than the things that I was doing. So we beg of you, fearless and thorough from the very start. Every time I still had a lurking notion, well, I'll just do this, it's Sunday, or I'll just tell them I did this. It bit me in the bum one more time, and I was face down in the food. So this is reminding me that one more time, God could and would if he was sought, and there is no easier, softer way. So if you are on the cusp and you're thinking, should I go, should I stay, I will say to you, sit all the way down, listen for the invitation, and trudge along with us on this broad highway. And with that, I will pass. Thank you, Mo.
Well, thank you, Susan G. from Los Angeles, California. Up next is Wendy B., followed by Aaron J. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, that line, we thought we could find an easier, softer way. You know, that was me and my disease. You know, I tried to coast through life, you know, taking the path of least resistance, you know, not taking responsibility, hiding from blame, avoiding conflict, finding comfort in food, you know, and other ways of escaping. You know, I was just trying to get by, you know, to survive with no real purpose or hope, you know, and I was aimless and floating, you know, here and there, like tossed by the currents of life. And, you know, like life does, my poor choices caught up with me, and I started having, you know, uncomfortable consequences. You know, my body suffered from my indulgences, and my relationship suffered from my unwillingness to accept responsibility and be honest, you know, with what I thought and felt. And my self-esteem suffered because I wasn't making good ethical choices, you know, that I could be proud of. And, you know, this program gave me a way to turn my life around, you know, and to live a life of honesty and integrity. You know, and as I learned to rely on God's strength, he enabled me to make the hard choices, you know, to do the next right thing, you know, and accept responsibility and accept my mistakes and, you know, admit my mistakes. And God is, you know, walking this path with me and revealing areas in my life that need healing and change. You know, he shines his light on them, and he guides me, you know, to dig out the roots in my childhood and replace the lies with his truth. And right now he's shining his light on my tendency to try to find security in the things of this world, you know, in my vocation or in substances or in relationships. And, you know, I realize nothing in this world is permanent, and it won't give me the security, you know, that I crave. You know, only God can, you know, he's my secure place, the beginning and the end. And, you know, the creator of all life and sustainer of life. And, you know, I have to go to him for my security needs. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Wendy B. from Arizona. Up next is Aaron J., followed by Stephanie L. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Aaron J. from Cody, Wyoming. So happy to hear this part of the book. So this nugget was very powerful, is powerful. Yes. Pretty much nothing is going to change unless I'm going to let go absolutely of my old ideas. And I echo what we just heard about this being the easier, softer way for me. I used to spend so much of my time trying to arrange all of the scenery and the players, and I have five kids, and all the, you know, three are married, which makes things even more difficult to manage. It's impossible, actually. So letting go of that is the easier way. You know, the difference between a demand and a request that we see in the literature, such a difference. And here we are up against the holidays, and, you know, basically we're not going to get together as a group, but it's a military operation to get everyone together, truthfully. So I had plans, and it's okay to make plans, but they may not work out. So God is just so merciful, because my intervening plan was, oh, God, we can't do this, we can't do that, so let's all go to tea, which, by the way, a tea is not the food that Aaron needs to be eating at all. I mean, I would give up the sweet part of it, but pretty much none of it is really good for me. Even that was sold out. So instead, we're going to be hitting a brunch, which has plenty of options for me. So it's like, even when I don't want to take care of myself, God does. So this is the easier way. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Aaron J. from Wyoming. Up next is Stephanie L., followed by Blair S. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everyone. This is Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And I wanted to, like, just kind of riff a little bit on the paragraph before, because in the paragraph before that we read on Friday, it was like, okay, if I've decided, and this was my experience in relapse, trying to come out of relapse, and then finally getting recovered. If I make this decision, because it is a decision, that I want what you all have, then I need to be willing to go to any lengths to get it, right? And then the next paragraph starts with, well, but at some of these we balked. And I did balk. I balked because I always look for the easier, softer way. I want to be able to control and enjoy. I want to eat whatever I want with zero calories, as much as I want, that tastes amazing. I want to get that hit, but I don't want the consequences, right? And it's the illusion that looking for that or the surgery or the diet plan or whatever it is the easier, softer way. But it doesn't work for someone like me because I have this illness. I need a spiritual solution. Right? And then they're like, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the start. I had to be so broken, and I was broken, right? And then I had to let go of these old ideas, even about, you know, having been in OA for a long time and having these ideas of the big book and the steps and of my higher power, who I call God. I had to let go. I had to set aside everything that I thought I knew. Because guess what? If I knew so much and I was so smart about how all of this works, and why the hell was I shoving food in my face and unable to stop? And then I just had to surrender to the direction of another human being. Because guess what? And we're going to read it tomorrow. This disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and it's so much bigger than me. I cannot fight it alone. I need something to intercede, to fight for me, to stand between me. And the only way I can do that is to let go of these old ideas, you know, and let go and follow direction so that I can find this God who saves me every single day from not only the clutches of the disease, but, you know, from the ups and downs of life. I have a roadmap today, and I'm so grateful for that. So thank you so much for letting me share. And I'll pass.
Hey, thank you, Stephanie L. from California. Up next is Blair S., followed by Claire E. And after Claire, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Blair.
Thank you, Mo. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good. I tried that again. Thank you all for your thoughts and your service. I'm new year, but I've been encouraged to try to share, you know, once a week. And the last line reminded me of some advice I had been given. The, you know, our progress was nil until we let go absolutely. Someone told me that if you try to let go 95%, it is harder than just letting go absolutely. And it hit me then, and it's still hitting me today. Because, you know, I used to think, well, I'll just have like one, I'll freeze all this stuff, but just take one bite a day of this stuff that's hard for me to do. No, that's harder than just saying, take it out of the freezer, throw it away. We don't need it around. Life's going to be a lot simpler if we just let go, absolutely. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Blair S. from California. And before I take Claire E., let me remind everybody where we are. We're in the chapter How It Works on page 58, third paragraph down. At some of these we balked, and it ends with until we let go absolutely. So after Claire E., I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Claire.
Hi, Mo. Thank you so much for hearing my voice. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic in Cornwall, UK. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. So, yeah, I've got in my big book here, you know, some of these words balked at being a baseball term for sort of deciding to do something and then chickening out. And you know, that could certainly describe many attempts at the 12 steps. You know, it's like I was all up for it in theory, but when it actually came to doing it, it was a bit more of an ask. And, you know, my brain is programmed to look for ease and comfort. And the quickest way it knows to do that, or it used to know to do that, was to put something in my mouth. That did it for me. It lit me up in a way that it doesn't light the normal eaters up. But of course, that was boomeranged around on me and it was absolutely killing me. So, you know, now I need to find the easier, softer way to get well. And, you know, I like most, a lot of people, I'm sure, you know, have tried many, many incarnations of this program. I really tried hard to be someone who pitched up to a meeting once a week and wanted to eat what I could eat and intuitively ate and all sorts of things that I've tried in this program. And, you know, none of those things really have worked for me. And the reason that they haven't worked for me is because I'm the real deal. You know, I have this illness through and through. I have an illness where I can't stop from starting and I can't keep stopped. And I have a physical allergy where I keep going once I start. So that is fatal. And I absolutely therefore have to have access to a higher power. Just like I have blue eyes or I'm 5'2". So, you know, that's why, you know, the easiest, softest, quickest way through this. In fact, when I got abstinent, you know, I remember my mantra being the only way out is through. You know, I knew if I picked up, I'd just have to go through it again. So the quickest way out of this for me actually is to be as fearless and thorough as I know. And this whole paragraph to me speaks of being just open-minded, you know, and the set aside prayer. I am someone who has been around the program a long time, 30 years. I have had numerous relapses, you know, and they're all because I've tried to hold on to old behaviours. You know, I've tried to run the show and the result is nil until I let go absolutely. And, you know, the other thing I've learned that I love about this paragraph I heard once was, you know, my old ideas or my new ideas become old ideas. You know, as recovery goes on, what used to work for me sometimes stops working and I have to still be open-minded as to a new way of doing things. That's been true for me on my food plan, true for me on behaviours and all sorts of experiences I've had. I have to be constantly open to new ways of doing things when something doesn't work. And you can hear my dogs are going nuts, so I'm going to sign off and it's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Claire E. from the UK. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Go ahead,
Marie P.
California.
Who was from California?
Maria C.
Maria C.
Hillary B.
Donna Maria.
I heard, was it a Haley or Hillary?
Hillary, yeah.
I got Hillary. All right. Who's after that?
New York.
Carolyn S. from New York.
Candy P. And who was that after Candy? Was it Carolyn?
Carolyn S. New York.
Oh. Okay, Carolyn S. Let's stop there. Let's stop. Oh, hey, I heard you, Deborah. Okay, I'll put you in there. Let's stop there because I think we're going to run out of time. All right, everybody mute except Maria C. Good morning, Maria. Tell us where you're from.
Good morning, Mo. My name is Maria C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, California. And I'm so happy to be here live. Happy federal holiday, everybody. You know, this paragraph actually reminds me of the first few days where I was able to look in the mirror and say I had recovered. I had gotten desperate, had gotten entirely abstinent, had worked the steps like my life depended on it, and there I was, working, learning how to work 10, 11, and 12 every day, looking for a sponsee, and I found myself comparing myself to my coworkers who were able to get so frustrated with a student's parent and be fine the next day, who were able to eat one thing that was put out in the kitchen and be fine the next day, who didn't need to wake up an hour early to pray and meditate and do calls and cook breakfast and log into a meeting, and who didn't need to spend their lunch break doing outreach calls or meeting with their sponsee. And maybe at first glance, the easier, softer way means acting like my coworkers, but I have to remind myself, it was me practicing taking steps 1, 2, and 3 every day. You see, it's that I am a down in the gutter, compulsive overeater. I'm an addict. And that way of living is impossible to me. It is an easier, softer way to spend an hour dialed into this meeting than to spend the other 23 hours of the day obsessed about food, the mental energy, the emotional energy. Will people see me eat this? Will they not? What's this? What's that? What's that? The physical energy of being a 100-pounder. It's an easier, softer way to wake up early and do some of these things that sound like work, because it will become joyful work. It did for me. And because it's just easier than the alternative of spending the other hours of the day obsessed with food. So thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Maria C. from California. Up next is Hillary B., followed by Candy P. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning, Mo. This is Hillary from Southern California. Thank you all who have shared so far. This meeting always fills me up, and I give thanks for every single one on the line. At Some of These We Balk. First of all, the paragraph before it says, if I want what you have and am willing to go to any length, and then it says, at some of these we balk, some of these steps, some of these lengths. Definitely, I balked at them for 40 years, and I wanted an easier, softer way, and I was willing to work the steps. I was willing to do everything except give up the food. I thought, you know, an easier, softer way would be self-analysis, using the steps to analyze myself, figuring it out, why I ate the way I ate, why I couldn't stop. I was willing to do any of that, but I wouldn't give up the food. And of course, the result was nil until I let go absolutely. I had to do something different. I was miserable. I could no longer hold on to my old ideas that, well, you know, I have a higher power. I'm doing all this other stuff. I don't really need to give up the food. Come on, there must be an easier, softer way. But there was not. I suffered. And, you know, I've been abstinent now for 18 months. And it is an easier, softer way. I can't analyze why I'm the way I am and fix myself. Even in abstinence, even with recovery, even being recovered, I can't figure it out. There's no figuring it out. There's only doing it. There's turning over to my higher power. And there's making a call, doing whatever I have to do when I start wanting to pick up the food, so that I won't pick up the food, really knowing food is not an option. That is the easier, softer way, because my life is so much better and nothing really has changed in my life outside of me. But what's changed is having a higher power that I actually turn to instead of food. I don't just turn to a higher power intellectually. And so thank you so much for listening, and thank you for the meeting and all who do service. I pass.
Thank you very much. Hillary B. from California. Up next is Candy P., followed by Carolyn S. Good morning, Candy. Candy, press star 1 to unmute.
Okay.
Oops. I heard you for a minute. A second. Try it again.
Okay.
All
can
right.
You...
There you are. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Mo. It's good to hear your voice. I always recognize it. I don't usually share much. I'm Candy P., and I'm in New York, and I listen to the meeting every morning when I can. It's my way of praying and meditating, And a lot of what's been said this morning could apply to me. And I just needed to share today to say thank you to all of you who make this meeting possible. And thank you that I have this program and the 12 steps. And I've been wanting to do it my way. And I've been doubting the existence of a higher power or God. But recently, just a few days ago, I had a terrible incident in an airport in a foreign country, and God sent an angel to help me and my significant other, and I will always be grateful, and what I'm mostly grateful for is that any I had in my mind about the existence of a higher power is absolutely gone. So I want to thank everyone who shares on this meeting. I want to thank you, Mo. I lost my sponsor some months ago, and I've been struggling, but I realized that I still have a higher power, and all of you are the angels in my life. So thank you for letting me share, and I hope everyone has a beautiful day.
Thank you very much, Candy P. from New York. Up next is Carolyn S., followed by Deborah G., and I may be able to squeak in two more after that. Good morning, Carolyn.
Hello, my name is Carolyn S. from New York. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. The word beg really jumps out at me. We beg of you. You know, they are like on their knees saying, please pay attention. Just pay attention. Because if you don't, you're going to relapse. And, you know, I'm in program 21 years now. I have had lots of relapses, and it often went back, or almost always went back, to being unwilling to do so much work and to feeling sorry for myself. It's like, well, why do I have to do all this just to be, you know, normal? Why wasn't I born normal? And I don't know, but it doesn't really matter, because this is where I am, and this is what I need to do. And when I do it, when I do the work, even though it's not easy and there's a lot of it, the rewards are huge. I mean, I can, you know, not do obsessing about food. Where am I going to get it? What am I going to hide the results or the evidence? You know, around and around that you know, cat or that wheel, hamster wheel in the head. Or I can put in a couple of hours and have a really good day, you know, and be of service to myself and others. I can live in a healthy body that works. I can go up and down stairs without huffing and puffing. You know, there's so many, you know, physical and emotional and spiritual benefits. You know, it's a matter of, am I going to choose a treat, quote unquote, that is food, or am I going to treat myself better with behavior and love? The easier, softer way is to take care of myself. And when I do that, I can show up for people in my life, and I can do God's will, which is to be of service. You know, I'm not here to, like, find and make myself as happy as possible at everybody else's expense. I'm here for almost the exact opposite. It's to help other people. And that is a reward in itself. And it does mean that I can live happy, joyous, and free. You know, not every day, but most of the time. And that's an amazing gift. I'm so glad I found this program and that they do beg of me, because it doesn't get any more serious than that. And just to do that from the very start. That's it. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Carolyn S. from New York. And before I take Deborah, let me remind everybody where we are. We're in the chapter How It Works, page 58, third paragraph down. At some of these, we balked. And it ends with, until we let go, absolutely. And after Deborah, I might be able to take two more. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone.
I'm Deborah from Arizona, and Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you all for making this meeting possible, and you, Mo, for sharing like you do, leading us. I just love when you do it. It just, your voice is lovely, like Candy said. And I also want to welcome any newcomers that are on the line. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. You don't have to do this alone. And thank you all for making this meeting possible and all your shares, 12-step in me today. And because I need to continue to keep hearing this, you know, because I was so stuck in that bulk place of dishonesty and unconsciousness. You know, it was like I'd get conscious for a little bit and then I'd go back unconscious again, thinking that I could do this myself and playing around with the foods and playing around with the steps and, you know, going through but not actually going through, you know, because I was still in the food. I couldn't, you know. And then it wasn't until I was going through a workshop and I woke up. I got totally awareness about what I was doing because I saw what I was doing, fork in one hand, salt shaker in the other, salting every single bite of food I was putting in my mouth. I got a big, huge dose of insanity. And it wasn't until I saw that did I totally, absolutely let go and called somebody that I'd heard on a special edition to be my sponsor and take me through the steps right away. And I have here in the paragraph at the end, I was nil until we let go, absolutely. I have written the set-aside prayer. And I started doing that. I started getting honest with myself. Honesty, it mentions a lot of honesties in these paragraphs. And then also, I started to surrender, to be open to the experience that I needed to receive in doing this work and living that set-aside prayer. Not just, because I would, you know, robotically say prayers, which at times I still can. But when I take it to my heart, from my head to my heart, down into my feet, movement, action with it, I experience it. You know, and that's what I did. I experienced this. And it's so lovely to be in the experience, to be in that. Okay, thank you, Mo, so much.
Hey, thank you, Deborah G., for sharing with us. Okay, the floor is open for maybe two people.
Sandra Marie,
Michigan.
Sandy Marie.
Sandra Maria. Thank you.
Oh, Sandra Maria. Thank you. I got it.
Correct. Thank you.
And who else? All right. Well,
Carly V, Michigan.
Okay, Carly V. You're it. Last one. All right, Sandra Maria, would you go first, please?
Sure. Yes, I'm Sandra Maria, a grateful, compulsive eater in recovery, and by God's grace, saved an abstinence for today. I have been thinking so much about letting go and letting God and just give up control. And I think one key for me when it comes to being free of the illusions and being free of the torture of the food is to really see the control more about like a general control. It's not only the food, it's all of my life. It's really all parts of my life. And I am reworking the steps right now and digging into the tree and really every day just reading an own prayer where I point out all the aspects I need to let go very, very specifically. And it helps me to remember during the day, like, no, I let go of the future. No, I let go of that. I let go of the time frame for when my character defect should be away or whatever. And anytime I find myself worry, it's because I have not let go of something. I try to control something which I can't because I'm not God. And the freedom that comes from that, that freedom is so beautiful and so soft and so much love that I just want more of it. And I just want to share that I feel a lot of gratitude today just by focusing on letting go everything to God. And that really includes, of course, my food as well. And I also agree with someone earlier saying that it's so much easier to fully let go than trying to control what I can't, because that's a big fight for me. And sometimes I find myself trying to control my thoughts, trying to control God's ways. And control is always frozen from fear. And fear is lack of trust in God. So I just thank you all from the bottom of my heart that you are here today. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. Thank you.
Where are you from, Sandra Maria? Oops. He left us. All right. Up next is Carly V. Good morning,
thank
Carly.
You. Hi. Good morning. I'm Carly V from Michigan, the compulsive overeater. Just trying to be in the middle of the herd and keep sharing, contributing. One thing that stuck out to me, I guess, with this is just was the letting go of our old ideas and just how hard that has been for me. And I've been in OA, I don't know exactly if it's been 5 or 6 years, but letting go of old ideas. Having that open-mindedness, I guess. So I can think back to just the beginning, I guess. I guess I'll start here. So just the beginning of how much time I was willing to put into OA. So just starting with that. And in the beginning, you know, it was like I couldn't even go to a meeting once a week. And now I'm spending like hours every day doing it because of what I get out of it. But I still struggle with thinking I know best and, you know, wanting to stick to my old ways of doing things, because those are what I think I know is, you know, how I've survived the world so far. And maybe in some ways it's worked, but in some ways it hasn't. But it's so hard to change sometimes, or to even see where I need to change, or to see where I'm holding on so tight to old ways of doing things. But thankfully, there's sponsors and outreach calls and, you know, continuing to go back to the literature, you know, these things that are helping me to and have helped me on this journey as I've to let go of those old ideas. And I just keep learning to let go of more. And the more I can be open-minded and ready for new experiences, the more I seem to get out of the program, and the more, you know, I just keep growing in new ways, like in my recovery journey. But, you know, it started with the food, letting go, and continues to be at times with the food, of letting go of old ideas with the food. But then also just looking at my life and how I manage my life and how I interact with people, and being willing to look at myself and areas that I need to change, and things that I'm, you know, my side of the street, or just things, ways where I'm not letting in higher power enough, and I'm still trying to run the show. I guess that's what I wanted to say today, just that. So thank you for letting me share.
Hey, thank you, Carly V from, I think you said Missouri.
Michigan.
Oh, Michigan.
Michigan, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all for sharing today, and for all those who gave service: Denise G, Mary P, Anne S C H, Dana P, and Tanya P. And our newcomer greeter is Chanel T, and our announcements person is Betsy H. So, well, everyone, please press *1 to unmute. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read a vision for you?
Yes, Mo, thank you. It's nice to not be forgotten. Most important part, right?
I'm human.
Thanks so much. And if you're new, please keep coming back. You know, reach out, announce yourself. This is where it's at, right here. I'm Dana P. I'm in California from AA Book 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.